It is a great pleasure to welcome to Best Ideas 2023 returning MOI Global instructor Sam Sheldon. Sam joined Punch and Associates in June 2016. In his role as research analyst, he focuses on the firm's small, micro, and nano cap portfolios. In his free time, Sam enjoys boating on White Bear Lake, cheering for the Green Bay Packers, and playing an occasional round of golf. Great to have you with us again this year, Sam. Look forward to your presentation, and we'll now turn it to you. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks, John, and Happy New Year's to you. And thanks for inviting me back to present again this year. I've always enjoyed being a part of this event and certainly appreciate getting to know members and hearing all the great ideas that get shared each year. Before I start, I just have a disclosure here that this presentation is for educational purposes and not investment advice. Okay, I'll give a quick overview on Punch & Associates. We're a 21-year-old investment management firm out of Edina, Minnesota. Today, we manage about $1.7 billion of assets on behalf of both high net worth clients and institutions. We have 24 employees, and that's split between our wealth planning, operations, and investment desk. I'm a part of the 8-person investment desk here at Punch, where we focus our research time on 3 value-oriented strategies, our small cap, micro cap, and nano cap portfolios, which you can see in the top pie chart there, makes up well over half of our assets. Since we've now presented to MOI community a number of times, I thought it would be good to put a little bit of an accountability slide together here. We've presented 6 other ideas at this event and remain shareholders of all of them, except for Drive Shack, which we exited, and then Pizina, which went private this past fall. So please feel free to reach out to me if you want to talk about any of these ideas that we've presented in the past. Okay, now on to the idea, Heritage Crystal Clean. The ticker is HCCI on the NASDAQ. I'll start by running through our investment thesis, dive into the segments, and then cover M&A. Before going through valuation and why the opportunity exists, and then finally taking some Q&A. So our investment thesis on Heritage Crystal Clean, it's really centered around this being a route density business, which we believe has a wide and growing moat. We think shares are trading at an attractive valuation today, well behind that of their closest peer and its own historical levels. There's been some structural changes in the oil business segment, which we believe permanently lifts the margin profile of a piece of the business that has masked the higher margin and higher quality services segment. Outside of Crystal Clean and their largest peer, the industry is very fragmented with significant M&A opportunities. We've been impressed by the management team and think they're certainly a proven and aligned team. And then finally, this business has been and should continue to be a beneficiary of increased regulations and ESG reporting requirements. For a quick overview on Heritage Crystal Clean, the business operates in 2 segments, environmental services, where the company has a fleet of trucks and drivers, and they go out into the field and collect industrial waste, hazardous waste, and used oil. The second business segment is their oil business, where they own and operate a re-refinery in Indianapolis that processes the used oil they've collected. It's a $785 million market cap, or about $32 a share today, and the enterprise value is around $860 million. The balance sheet, as you can see, is pretty clean with a half a turn of leverage. The 2 pie charts here, you can see that about 2/3 of revenue comes from the environmental services business. And historically, over the last 5 years, about 70% of operating income has come from environmental services. Later in the presentation, I'll spend some more time talking about recent changes and tailwinds for the oil business. As part of the overview, I wanted to highlight the organic growth profile of this business. We estimate that the environmental services business has generated an 8% organic CAGR since 2000, which is a real testament to the power of a densifying route business. We expect this strong high single digit organic growth to continue for the ES segment as they roll out more services to more branches and as new branches mature by adding additional customers to their routes. Over the last 12 months, the company has posted a 16% operating margin, an 8% free cash flow margin, 16% return on invested capital, and a 21% return on equity. Historically, customer churn has been under 5% for the ES segment, which certainly helps fuel these rates of return and organic growth. At Punchh, we spend a lot of time getting to know management teams and trying to assess their ability to grow their businesses over the next 3+ years. And we think this team is very capable and certainly incentivized to grow their business and create shareholder value. The senior management team has, on average, over 25 years of industry experience, and then middle managers have, on average, 20 years of industry experience. Brian, the CEO, has been with the company since 2017, but he's actually been on the board since 2012. He previously ran Omni Energy Services and sold that business. Today, he owns about $10 million of stock in HCCI, and he purchased $4 million of that stock over the last 6 months. I think it's worthwhile highlighting his incentive package as well. He can earn 500,000 shares, vesting in increments of $5 a share up to $42. This package totals about $21 million in total. So he certainly has a lot of incentive to get the share price into the 40s in the next few years. Mark DeVita is the executive vice president and CFO. He's been with the company since 2000 and in the CFO seat since 2012. Mark previously worked at Safety Clean, which is similar to a lot of the senior management here. I'll talk about Safety Clean more in a few slides, but they're the largest player in the space. And then lastly, Fred Faisenfeld is the chairman and co-founder of HCCI. He directly files on 2.8% of the shares, but actually his family's trusts are the largest shareholder, owning an additional 21% of the company today. For some background, Fred had a small parts washing business many years ago that turned into HCCI about 20 years ago. The next few slides take a dive into the company's environmental services segment, or ES segment. This business operates 91 branches to service over 100,000 customer locations, and they're doing this across 48 states and in parts of Ontario. At its root, the business collects, treats, stores, and then disposes of various waste. As you can see in the chart, about two-thirds of the business's segment comes from parts cleaning and containerized waste. The parts cleaning business is sort of their crown jewel. And it's a pretty simple business. They place a patented parts cleaning machine on a workroom floor, and then customers' mechanics will go over to the machine and clean various parts using the machine and the solvent in the machine to clean dirt and other crud from a part. The solvent is reused by the customer several times until it gets really dirty. And then HCCI will come around and collect that usually every couple weeks and replace the solvent at that time. So I think one great attribute of the segment is the recurring nature. Over 70% of the segment's sales are recurring. And to put a little context around that, typically a customer will, using their parts cleaning, containerized waste, or the antifreeze services, they sign a 12-month contract. And then almost every customer they have is on an automatically renewing service agreement. So it creates a very sticky business here. The ES business focuses on small and mid-sized customers. Often these are auto shops or manufacturers. Their average customer spends just a few thousand dollars a year with them. So they're often not all that price sensitive, which has been important with recent inflation here as they've taken up price. But what is important to the customers is timely collection, of this waste, it's essential to keep their business going. Another big selling point of their service for these small and mid-sized operators is that HCCI handles the regulatory burdens. So they'll help a customer navigate by staying on top of changing laws, documenting and reporting the amount of waste collected. And this all helps a customer just focus on running their business. For opportunities, they continue to add new services to their branches. So an example of this is wastewater vacuum services, which they've been rolling out over the last few years to their branches. Today, they offer that from 65 of the 91 branches, and they're going to continue to roll them out, roll that service out to more branches. Another opportunity is PFAS, which has been in the news a lot lately. They signed a joint venture there that gives them access to somebody else's technology to treat this PFAS in the field. Other opportunities are to continue adding capabilities to treat more waste internally and ship less to third parties. The team has been pushing pretty hard in the last few years to process more waste internally and become more vertically integrated, which should help margins. The final and pretty large opportunity is to fill in their geography with more branches on the West Coast. Historically, the company has been focused on the Midwest and East Coast. And then M&A is another opportunity that I'll hit on in more depth in the next few slides. But with M&A and the organic growth profile of this business, we expect ES business to become a larger piece of the combined company over time. Here's one last slide on the environmental services business to show the margin profile going back to 2017. You can see that the operating margin troughed at 14% during one quarter of COVID and then snapped back really quickly to average levels around 23%. We think the business can get back to having margins in the high 20s on a sustained basis as their pricing actions that they've taken catch up with inflation and then some of the recently acquired branches become more mature. Legacy branches, I think it's worth noting that their legacy branches that they've operated for several years are sustaining a 30%+ margin, but it's the newer branches that are in the 20% or even teens range. So it really just takes time for newer branches to add customers and add services to their routes to help improve margins. Okay, now I'll hit on the oil business. This business takes the used oil collected by branches, and then it re-refines it at their operations in Indianapolis. They operate the second largest re-refiner in North America after having sunk about $135 million into it since 2012. They got into the business in 2012 really because they had to. It was necessary to be capable of internally re-refining this used oil. Because they were gaining scale on the ES side and had won some larger accounts producing significant quantities of used oil. Historically, this business has ranged from 20 to 40% of sales and had 0 to 10% operating margins. Clearly, it's over-earning right now. It's about 40% of sales and has a 38% margin over the last year. So this oil business is a spread business where HCCI keeps the difference between the price that they either have to pay or the price that they receive for used oil, and then the market price of refined base oil. There was a positive development for this business driven by some international regulation that some of you might be familiar with, IMO 2020. The regulation basically limits the use of marine bunker fuel, which had been a large consumer of used oil. A lot of used oil had gone into marine bunker fuel. With marine bunker fuel being phased out as part of this regulation, there's less competition for used oil, and that's improved the amount that HCCI has to pay or the amount that they receive for used oil. So we think this is an important part of the story to understand, as people might not really appreciate that IMO 2020 has permanently raised the margin floor for this segment. And this slide shows the operating margin of the oil business going back to 2017. You can see that before IMO 2020, it had been averaging a 4% margin, and it's currently running around 40% today. And like I said, it is over-earning at the moment, but we do believe that the new normalized margin will be more around 20%, which is still a significant improvement from the level that it was running at prior to IMO 2020. I wanted to quickly hit on the moat present in the business as it's key to our thesis. This is a sticky and low churn recurring services business, and I already talked about how customer churn on the ES side is less than 5%. We've talked a little bit about the benefits of route density, lifting margins over time, but the other aspect of this is it creates a moat as well. It's hard to just start up a greenfield branch as there's a long runway to sustain profitability. The re-refinery also creates an important moat. It's required to service larger accounts, but very difficult to build a re-refinery with environmental regulations in the United States, and certainly expensive to do so. Regulations are another moat to the business. Increasing regulations make it hard for mom and pops to keep up with. And then finally, HCCI's breadth of services is a moat that they bring a lot of value to their customers by being their sole environmental waste manager and being able to offer all the services they need. Then to hit on the industry, it's really all about Safety-Kleen, as they're at least twice the size of HCCI. Safety-Kleen is part of Clean Harbors and actually used to be headquartered in the same Illinois town as HCCI. Many people from the management team that helped build Safety-Kleen in 1998, left after selling it in 1998 to private equity. And they then joined HCCI to help build that business. One important differentiator between the two businesses is compensation for field employees. HCCI's compensation for field employees is about 2/3 variable. So they're really trying to incentivize these employees to upsell additional services and find new customers along the route. Safety-Kleen's compensation structure is pretty different. It's much more fixed. And we think that's one of the reasons that HCCI has been able to take market share from them. Outside of Safety-Kleen and HCCI, it's a really fragmented market. HCCI is substantially larger than their next largest competitor. So there's a lot of mom and pop operators in the industry. I wanted to hit on ESG considerations, starting with governance. 7 of 8 directors are independent. They don't have a poison pill in place, and insiders own over 1/4 of the company. Additionally, compensation is based on total shareholder return and EBITDA. For environmental, this is probably a piece of the business that no one's really giving them credit for. They process a crazy amount of waste and re-refine tens of millions of gallons of oil every year, which allows the waste to be reused and prevents it from being dumped. On the social side, I'd highlight that they've done a nice job preventing injuries throughout the organization, cutting incident rates in half over the last 7 years. Okay, now I'll quickly hit on recent M&A. The company has done a lot of small tuck-in deals, bookended by 2 large acquisitions. Since 2013, they've done 20 acquisitions, totaling about $333 million. The most recent deal was Patriot Environmental in August of 2022 for $156 million, which I'll spend a little bit more time on in the next slide. There's been a strategy shift over time. Initially, the company focused on adding more services to branches through M&A, while the focus now is more on expanding to the West Coast and densifying other geographies. The Patriot acquisition closed in August of 2022, added 18 branches and 2 wastewater treatment facilities on the West Coast. Most of these were in California. They paid, like I said, $156 million, which shakes out to around 14 times our estimate of normalized operating income. management operated seven or management, excuse me, they had identified 7 million of cost synergies, which they expect to realize in the next 12 months, which would bring the multiple down to around 9x operating income. And on the last call that they said that everything is on track to realize that 7 million. I think it's interesting to also point out that on the third quarter earnings call in late October, they had already paid down 24 million of the debt taken on for this acquisition just a few months prior. So it really speaks to the cash flow characteristics of the company and their ability to delever quickly. Moving on to valuation, I broke down some of their peers into two segments that HDCI could be compared to. On the left is the route density businesses, and then on the right is refinery businesses. And then on the far right, you can see that I compared HDCI more directly to Clean Harbors. I think it's interesting to look at the margin and valuation comparison between HDCI and Clean Harbors in the red boxes. You can see that Heritage has better margins and only a half a turn of leverage versus Clean Harbors has leverage at 2.2x. However, shares trade at 10x earnings or 7.6x enterprise value to EBIT versus almost 17x earnings and 14x EBIT for Clean Harbors. The same valuation discrepancy exists when looking at free cash flow yield. Heritage is at 7.3% and Clean Harbors is at 3.2%. You can see that HDCI trades at a material discount to the average EV to EBIT multiple in both route density and refinery peer groups. At the bottom, you can also see that HDCI is trading well below its five-year median valuation based on EV to EBIT, price to earnings, and free cash flow yield. And then finally, at the top, I put a couple bullet points here because I thought it was kind of interesting. Vertex Energy, that ticker's VTNR. Last year, they had agreed to sell their oil recycling assets to Clean Harbors, and they had agreed on $140 million valuation for that business. That would be a fairly close comp to HDCI's oil business. And if you applied that same multiple, which was 1.4x forward sales or 9.3x forward EBITDA at the time, it would imply a valuation north of $350 million for just HDCI's oil business. So the deal did not go through. It was terminated in 2021, but does point to the value of that oil business. Another way that we look at valuation is creating an up-down ratio, which is our difference between our estimate of best and worst case scenarios for the stock. Our upside is $67 a share, which equals 12x our estimate for the business in 4 years to do around $145 million in operating income. To hit this, they'd have to grow the ES segment at a high single-digit rate with 28% operating margins. And then the oil segment would have to return to 30% of sales with a 20% margin, which again, we believe is the new normalized rate. The low end equates to $16 a share if the stock trades at 7x a depressed estimate of around $60 million in operating income. We think this assumption is conservative as it assumes well below average margins and growth on the ES segment side, while the oil business returns to 30% of sales from 40% and margins slip to 15%. So taking these two into account, we get to an up-down ratio of 2x with more upside than downside. To kind of put a bow on the presentation, I wanted to summarize by going through why we believe the opportunity exists. First, the low margin oil business has masked the higher margin and higher quality ES business. We believe that IMO 2020 has permanently improved the oil spread, and that continued plant debottlenecking and other improvements should help the margin over time as well. And we believe that over time, the oil business will become a smaller piece of HDCI. Second is subscale operations. Clearly, HDCI is smaller than Safety-Kleen, but as we just showed, margins are similar and the recent Patriot acquisition was the largest in history, helping the company to get some scale quickly. We think that continued M&A, while taking market share and adding new services, will continue closing the gap between HCCI and Safety-Kleen. Third is that HCCI is relatively illiquid small cap, but the chairman's family registered their shares this past summer and started to let go of some stock, which should help liquidity some. I think it's worth pointing out that the chairman is 72 years old, so some of this presumably could be estate planning. And the CEO actually took down $4 million of the chairman's family stock. Finally, opportunity exists because some might view the declining ES margins recently as a permanent trend. We think that the ES business can get margins back into the high 20s in the near future as the pricing actions they're taking offset inflation and newer branches become more productive. My last slide here hits on the risks and rebuttals to those risks. The biggest challenge that the company's faced recently has been labor. We think that Brian and his team go out of their way to help improve culture and focus on that a lot in the company. Also, compensation for field employees is pretty attractive. So hopefully the labor challenges abate in the coming years. The second risk is electric vehicles, as obviously they don't require oil changes. It's worth pointing out that the industry generates 900 million to a billion gallons per year of used oil, but re-refining capacity is 350 to 400 million gallons. So EVs would have to become a much larger piece of North America's vehicles for this to have a real impact. Also today, HCCI's branches already collect used lithium ion batteries and dispose of them through a JV. So there could be some opportunity with EVs in the future. The third risk is Safety-Kleen, which we already talked about. We think they've been a pretty rational competitor and that HCCI has been able to take market share from them. The fourth is environmental regulations, which creates both a barrier to entry for others and a challenge for HCCI. I think that constantly changing regulations can be a headache for the team at times, but ultimately the EPA knows that their services help customers dispose of waste in a safe manner and follow regulations. Finally, botched M&A. It's always a risk, but I point out that the team has been pretty disciplined with most of their acquisitions. They've only done two large deals since 2014, so it's relatively infrequent, and leverage is at just a half a turn. So this is not a levered roll-up by any means. And here's my contact information if anyone wants to reach out to discuss Heritage Crystal-Kleen or any of the other previously shared ideas that we've given in more detail. And I'll hand it back to you, John, if you have any questions.
Great, Sam, thank you so much for the presentation. Perhaps on the capital allocation side, is there anything you might prioritize differently than the management is doing?
Sure. The big focus of capital allocation had been building out the oil business since 2012. Like I mentioned, they're complete at this point with the re-refinery. And the second focus has been then on M&A since. I would like to see them find more deals of size, like a Patriot. They do have a pretty significant pipeline. They've talked about having 30 plus companies in their pipeline at all times. So I think it's sort of a matter of time for them to find more businesses, but I guess I would like to see them find more deals of size like Patriot. Besides that, we're pretty happy with how they've handled capital allocation.
So looking forward, just in terms of data points we can track to gauge how the thesis is playing out, what would you keep an eye on especially?
Yeah, I think the big thing that everyone's trying to figure out is where do margins normalize for this oil business? You had IMO 2020 hit right as COVID happened, and then you've obviously seen a spike in energy prices since. So there's just a lot of noise in those numbers to try to figure out where margins normalize. But like I talked about, we think 20% is a good bogey for that business on a normalized basis going forward. And that would be a key metric to track. Besides that, we continue to watch organic growth pretty closely on the environmental services side to make sure that they're continuing to grow and take market share there. So those are really the two metrics that I'd watch most closely.
Could you just elaborate a little bit on the downside scenario you outlined? What kind of probability would you put on that?
Sure. The business has averaged an 8% organic growth on the ES side over time. And so we're assuming half of that rate, and they would be able to do that in just price. So it really assumes no volume growth for them. And 22% margins is below their historic level. So we think that's fairly conservative. And then the oil business, again, it assumes margins below that 20% that we believe is kind of the new normalized rate. And so there's certainly a chance that this happens. The business has been pretty countercyclical in the past. Excuse me, not countercyclical, but defensive in the past. People continue a drive on the road and need oil changes, and their customers are not all that price sensitive. So we think it's a defensive business, but there's certainly a risk to any business.
Sure. Great. Well, I will leave it there. Would just encourage our members to feel free to follow up with their own thoughts or questions. Sam, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us again this year and share this investment thesis with the MOI Global community.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Best wishes. Goodbye for now.